because I was this 19-year-old who was doing this really great, amazing business that everybody was talking about. And then I started getting speaking gigs. Mm-hmm. I started getting radio interviews.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what? Yeah. And it's the time where the word entrepreneur was a buzz.
What advice would you give to mothers who are also entrepreneurs?
Choose yourself first. I know you love this baby, but you come first. Mm. So you have to make sure that if you want to love this baby right, you have to love you right. Your child needs you to choose you.
Your child needs you to choose you.
Yeah.
Very mature, Michelle.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Label lying with the podcast, teach you lesson cause I got class. Label lying with the impact, you be lying, that's a real fact. Come let me teach you a lesson, come let me teach you a lesson. Label lying with the tweets, follow me back to my name.
Welcome to the Label Lion Show, where we talk all things marketing, branding, business mindset, and sometimes pop culture. Special shout out to my TikTok tribe, because you guys have really been coming through in my DMs with the right conversations. You're booking those consultations like they're running out. Like, it's crazy. Guys, if you do not have TikTok for your business, I don't know what you're doing, because that thing converts. And our guest is nodding because she also knows, because she's also an expert in these things. But we'll get right into that just now. But you know what we do on our podcast before we do anything else? We do the things that help us pay the bills. So like, share, subscribe, do all the good things that help everybody see this podcast and get to connect with all the incredible conversations that we have on a weekly basis. So guys, I know a lot of you've also been seeing that a few people on Twitter have been saying a few things about me and the show. And it's been very interesting to see how a lot of you are coming through and defending me. And I genuinely appreciate it. I love it for me. I love it for my tribe. But I also want to say that we need to be careful about how we're engaging on all things. It does not matter what other people on other podcasts are doing. Here we show that we are mature, elevated human beings. We know how to speak. We know how to engage. That's how we move through life, because that's the core of this brand and this tribe. So just be careful. Not everything is worth the fight. I'm a big girl as well. I can handle all of this. You know, I understand the social media landscape. I've been doing it for a very long time. And what I appreciate from all of you guys the most is just the love that you give me, the likes, you know, the watching, the reposting, the emails, the DMs, the booking of the consultations, the buying of the book. Everything that you're doing for me is the loudest support that I could get. So you don't need to fight all of my battles, because most of them don't even matter. That's why I don't comment. You know, they always say that silence is the loudest answer. So when somebody really says something, you just don't, I don't even understand half the haterade. I just keep quiet. I think one thing we can do though is maybe add the link to my podcast when people are busy commenting, so that we just make sure that they're seeing it, you know. But other than that, we don't have to fight anybody, because it's just not worth it. Okie dokie. So let's get into today's conversation. And we're doing this for Women's Month. And I know that a lot of podcasts will say that we are interviewing women because it's Women's Month. And I don't necessarily do that. But I think for the past couple of episodes, I have been interviewing more men than women, which is naughty, shame on me. And I want to change that up. So we're going to start that change during Women's Month. And we're starting with somebody who I've known from social media since 2015. And we actually used to DM each other on Twitter. You know, when everything started, she knows who Label Lion was all those years ago. She's also grown and evolved into such an amazing woman, and she's got an incredible life story. So I can't wait for us to get into that. Grab your tea, grab your notepad, grab all the things you need to grab, get into a comfortable space, and let's get into today's show. And as you know, on this podcast, we don't introduce our guests. They introduce themselves like it's a job interview. No pressure. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. Oh my gosh. Now there's so much pressure to like come up with an introduction for myself.
Yes, but I mean, you do it so well on TikTok already.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you. For those who don't already know who you are, please introduce yourself.
Awesome. So hello, everybody. My name is Michelle Expert, and I'm an entrepreneur at heart. I start new businesses every year, basically. Mm-hmm. But my core messaging is in helping people be more persuasive by giving them sales tools that will help them make
create more revenue in their businesses. So that's my core business amongst a lot of other businesses that I do. I share content on social media, helping you grow your business, but predominantly helping you grow your sales and your businesses.
That's lovely. Yeah. That is very lovely.
Thank you.
We're kind of in the same, we kind of do the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
And look at us, we're talking and interviewing each other. We're not in like competition and fighting and doing all these weird things
that
a lot of women tend to do in our space,
big
right?
Time. Yeah, big time.
Have you experienced any of that shade from like other women in our space?
Yes.
Okay.
I have. I think that for me, it's just like realizing that we obviously like very unique in the different way that we pose our messages. Mm-hmm. Like I love your content so much and I'll watch it because I'm just like, oh my God, I didn't like think of it like that.
Yeah.
But sometimes we also feed off each other because you'll say something in marketing that I'm like, of course, in sales, we can do it like this way. Mm-hmm. And then it just makes it easier for me to like talk about it from a sales perspective.
Mm.
So yes, I have. But you know what? It's just one of those things you rub off your shoulders and you're just like, whatever.
I want to get into that a little bit more because it is Women's Month and I love to talk about sisterhood and women coming together because I think there's a big, we've got a big problem there, right? What is one of the worst experiences you've had professionally with another woman?
Sure, let me see. I won't lie, I haven't had a lot.
Okay,
I think if I had to like, if I had to like equate it, I've had like a lot of support and just like love from women.
Mm.
I think for me professionally, it was like an elderly lady who was sort of kind of in the same industry in the same setting that I was at. And this was like years ago. And I think at that time, I don't know if maybe I was like a little bit too eager, Nikki Papa. And then she sort of kind of tried in her own way to like, I won't say sabotage, but to not maybe like not let a door
say the word.
Open for me.
Sabotage.
Because she just felt like I was a little bit too much, you know?
What does it mean to be too much though?
I don't know. You know what? I feel like it also has to do with age.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there are times where I've noticed sometimes you will get a lot of pushback from like the elderly women that have been respectively running their businesses for so many years. And then you're this young person that comes up and you do these things and they're just like, okay.
You know, that I get you.
Yeah.
And I experience the same thing.
Yeah.
But it irritates me.
A lot.
Because in my mind, I'm going, if we're in this world, right? And we're running businesses and building brands, we're in the commercial space.
Yeah.
So even if Coca-Cola has been around for 50 years.
Yeah, yeah.
If Prime Energy Drink comes through.
Yeah.
And it makes more sales than Coke ever made in their first year.
Yeah.
That's a goat. You can't strip away the power or the significance of what Prime has done just because Coke has been in the market for so long, you know? And there's so many things we can learn from each other from age and experience that I think we don't because of that, I would call it like an ego problem. You know, because I work with a lot of people who are much younger than me and I just don't think it matters. And I also work with women who are older than me, but I've also experienced what you're talking about, which is just, it's very hard to work with older women. It's very, very hard. And I'm not trying to drag older women, but also their generation, because I'm a millennial.
Yes.
I think before that, they grew up in a very toxic environment where women are pitted against each other. You know, you fight for the man.
Yeah.
Like the other day, I was listening to Brandy and Monica. What's the song? The Boy Is Mine.
Yes.
I was like, what are the lyrics on this song?
A great sing-along, but you just like aren't, like you don't actually know what they're saying until you realize what's going on. You're like, oh, okay.
Exactly. Like we were singing to that as children. That boy is mine.
Yeah.
Two women fighting over a man. Never. I saw it, guys. I'm sorry. I will never do that. If my man has someone else, I'll say, goodbye. You're not my man anymore.
You can have
and
him.
I go my separate way.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to fight the girl.
Yeah, yeah.
But they grew up in that.
In that, yeah. But, you know, I think my approach to it is always, I believe in divine timing and divine opportunities.
Mm.
I've learned to not take that kind of pushback as like, oh my God, I'm not getting this opportunity because I'm this person.
Mm.
My thing has always been that whatever is meant for me is going to find me, whether it is through this person, somebody else, like God will orchestrate things in my favor. So I've kind of stepped out from super analyzing what other people think of me, whether or not they'll open a door for me. Am I connected with this person? I've removed myself from all of that and I've just kind of trusted in God, and my whole hope is like God will mention my name in rooms where I don't even have access to, where even the same people that don't like me will be the ones who have to process a budget in my name.
Yes.
You know, so that's my approach. I'm just like, cool, you do you. I knocked and I tried. God, it's now up to you. And he's never failed.
God has never failed you.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of the time, I mean, I'm not religious, mm-hmm. but I do watch a lot of religious content, yeah. as in Christian or whatever the case may mm-hmm. be, with a spiritual element to yeah, it, yeah. right? And what they always like to say is, it's good to have faith, but you have to put action to
100%, it. Yeah, yeah.
So in what you've just said, mm. where is the action part of that faith?
I think the action is acknowledging that you are, like, I think at that time when I look back, I'm like acknowledging that you are new. Mm. You know, I think there's so much humility in, I think sometimes when you knew you can be overly eager and you mm. can be overly criticizing everybody. Like, oh my God, they've been doing this for 20 years and it's still like this. I yes. can do it so much better. And then you walk in with that vibrato and you are like super excited. And of course it's going to rub people the wrong way. But as you grow, you realize that you need to have the humility to realize that there's a reason why that person's been doing that for so long. And even if maybe now there's a different way of doing things, it can still happen, but you have to kind of penetrate the market in a certain way.
Yes.
So I think that for me, the maturity and like going back to study, to read the right books, to actually do the work. Because mm. sometimes when we knew, all we have is head knowledge and this belief and this faith that this is how it's supposed to work. But when you go behind the scenes and you start doing the work within your industry, your market and your business, it becomes so much. I think as you grow, you then realize that, maybe that's why that reaction was there, or maybe that's why they were doing this. And you can maybe form relationships in a much more better way yeah. because now you have a deeper understanding and you're a bit more kinder this time, you know? So it's something about being young and being like naive and thinking you know it because, oh my God, you're on radio all the time. Like experts ask you about this thing and you're like only 19.
Yes.
So, you know, but as you grow, you get to learn. And I think that's where the action is the learning.
The learning.
Yeah.
That's profound. Mm. For anyone who's watching, if you don't mind sharing your age, how old are you?
I am 28.
And how long have you been an entrepreneur?
Since the age of 19 officially. That's when like I registered my first business. But I've always been that girl that would like buy nikirekisadi sweetie. Mm. I was doing people's hair kadi weekend. My parents were very entrepreneurial.
Okay.
So we were kind of raised in, I don't know if I'm jumping the gun, but like I'm just trying to like take you through the whole process, the whole entrepreneurial thing where we would have to man my dad's shop. And if you make the most money, you get commission. Oh, so nice. You had to think like a business person. Like if you have to clean the shop, do you want to spend money on cleaning equipment? No. So make sure that you clean like efficiently so that you don't have to. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think 19, let's say 19.
And what was your first business?
my first business at the age of 19 was, what was my first business? I was a wedding planner.
Oh, at 19.
Yes.
How does that happen?
I was a wedding planner. So, this is probably getting into like the history of things. So, I wanted to be a radiologist, right? And that was like my dad's plan for my life.
Yeah.
And then briefly, as soon as I finished my matric, my father got very ill. Mm. So they unfortunately couldn't take me to varsity. And I tried applying for bursaries, but it was nearly impossible to get one at the time. And I just stayed at home. And then I got an internship, a PR internship. And I worked for a company that did PR for mining companies. Hated every moment of it. 3 months later, I was like, thanks.
What did you hate so much about it?
I had to go and like write about excavating machines. There was nothing exciting about that. I'd go to like one of these company brands I don't want to mention and like have to study their new excavating machines and how it like just does stuff. And I just wasn't interested in that kind of stuff and writing like 500 words for that. I wasn't interested. And then after that, I stayed unemployed for a while. And then I literally then started being a scholar at a hotel. A scholar is like the person that washes dishes. Mm. And then I became a runner. And then I became a waiter. And then from becoming a waiter, I was spotted by a lady who was like, you're well-spoken. I've got a receptionist position available. And was actually a family friend. Then I became a receptionist. From there, then I became like a wedding coordinator. Then I fell in love with weddings. And then after I fell in love with planning weddings, I decided to take a wedding planning course. And then halfway through the course, I was like, let's start a business. Mm-hmm. And then that's how that started.
And how did that go?
It went really well. It picked up sooner than I was prepared. And that was like the failure of it. Mm. I think I expected it to grow steadily and then it just went. And then I just didn't know what to do. I had no idea of how systems in a business work. I had no idea on how to move money. I thought everything that came belongs to me. So I bought a car. I did shopped. I went out with friends.
You lived a life.
Yes, that's what I did because I thought this is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and that, and then in due time when the business wasn't coming in like any other new person, I started a new thing. So it was just that I just didn't understand business. I enjoyed it, but I didn't understand it.
What are the three main takeaways from that business?
Ooh, three main takeaways. I think the first one would be just like educate yourself financially. Mm. You know, that's the first one. The second one is prepare for success more than you prepare for failure.
Oh.
At the time for me, my thing was like I told myself that if this doesn't work, I still have a job, you know? But I never prepared for what if it works?
Mm.
Like what if you are booked every other weekend? Like, what then? What do you do? I wasn't prepared for that. So I ended up, like, declining on jobs because there was, like, my priorities weren't together. And then the third thing would be, let's see, I think at that time when you're starting, don't believe the hype.
Hype from?
From people and, like, around. So that a lot of people don't actually know that that's how my social media career began. Mm-hmm. Because I was this 19-year-old who was doing this really great, amazing business that everybody was talking about. And then I started getting speaking gigs. Mm-hmm. I started getting radio interviews.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what? Yeah. And it's the time where the word entrepreneur was a buzz.
Still
like,
is.
Yes. But I think at that time, like, I think at that time it was like young entrepreneurs. I think it was a thing. There was some funding going into that whole thing. So a lot of radio stations, TV, and just they were just celebrating like young entrepreneurs. And I was one of them at that time. And that buzz got into my head. So what then happened is I started focusing on that part more than actually focusing on the business. So I believed the hype too soon.
Those are great takeaways.
Thank you.
No one's actually ever said that on this podcast.
Oh, wow.
So those are great.
Yeah.
I love it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, Debo.
So where are we now in terms of business?
Ooh, where are we now? We still do a lot. We still do a lot.
Yeah.
When we met, I did Lavish. So the wedding business went into like a deco and floral business, which really grew as well. But again, the hype still carried on. And then...
So you still hadn't learned your lesson?
No.
About the hype?
No.
What is it about the hype? What is it that just makes a person go crazy?
It's the applause. When you're an entrepreneur and you're running your own business, there's no applause.
Mm-hmm.
There's no applause because nobody actually knows what you're doing, right? There's no, oh my God, you're doing so well.
Yeah.
But a radio interview, they say, oh my gosh, we have Label Lion on the show.
Yeah.
She's done 1, 2, 3, 4. And then you've got people commenting about your work. You've got people telling you, you inspire me. That feels good.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're young and you're like still into that, you're like, okay, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
I want to focus more on that. So I think that's what's with the hype is like it just calls you. It feels good. But where we are business wise is so Lavish currently like has phased into its own thing right now. Yeah, huge developmental thing. So right now I run a company called Resonate, which is a company that I started. So the whole thing about the company is our tagline is we want to make you more persuasive. It's to help people with their sales. That's the core function of the business, which is essentially what filters through my social media.
Why sales?
I think it's because... It was a long time coming. I think so during my whole business failures, I would go back to corporate, right? And every time I went to corporate, I was in sales. I was a sales manager for some of the big corporates in South Africa. So I think over time, I realized that there's actually a gifting in this. Like there's something about me that makes me really excel when I get into sales because the revenue would increase. I would turn businesses around. But I think I had to also grow as a person to kind of find like what it is that I want to do. So why this is, I think that it's going to benefit a lot of people. I've seen it benefit me in all the several businesses I've run.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to benefit a lot of people as of that consumer content.
So every time you'd go back to corporate,
yes,
what was the song that was playing in your head? Which song would define the feeling of that moment of going back
so,
to corporate?
So for me, it never felt like going back.
Okay.
And it never felt like going back because it would almost be like, okay, the business is slowing down and then I'd apply for a job and then I get it. So I'd still run the business on the side anyway, but I'm working full time. So I always had that net. all the time. So it never felt like going back. But I do remember I got to a point in 2018 where I had a really good job that paid really well. Like, my life at that time was really good. But I remember waking up every morning and just feeling like I'm out of place. I'm misplaced. And I took a bit of prayer time and just kind of figuring out what I want to do. And I remember at that time, I really felt like God was calling me for like the new season of my life. And the new season was to like go full in and step into what I've felt like I've been called to do, which is what I do now. So the sales aspect of things has always been my message throughout me, the content that I share on social media. But it's obviously been diluted with like my storytelling, my interests in other things, my spirituality as well. And I think as I've grown, it's been more strategic, where with Resonate, I still share all those things, but it's more defined now to be able to be brought out. So yeah, maybe that's the answer to like why that. It's like now it's properly packaged.
But what was the song? Or which song would define that moment?
Let me think. I don't know. So here's my favorite song of all time, right? Is Lose Yourself by Eminem.
Really?
Yeah, that's like...
High five to you.
That's one of my favorite songs, like word
for word.
That's my jam. And I think it really just... like, and 8 Mile is also my favorite movie. Yeah, so okay. It's like, it's a combo, right? So for me, it's always that realizing that you only, like, every day is that one moment to lose yourself. So I've, like I said earlier, I believe in divine timing. Like I never feel like I'm taking a step back whenever something bad happens. It always feels like there's an up level to this. I just don't see it right now. And I'll step into it. And I'm so glad I made those moves, because I made a lot of connections that have been so helpful for me in my entrepreneurial journey by going to corporate and still having a full-time job. My businesses grew because of the people that I was working with, because of my clients at that time. When I left my last job, the owner of that business was like to me, listen, I'm going to give you access to this place. You can still, the same office you had will be the same office you have for your business. I'll give you my resources. I'll give you whatever it is. So I think there's a gift in that. And I just try to immerse myself and lose myself in whatever moment that I'm in at that time, because I really believe that it's upwards from there.
It's such an empowering tone.
Thank you.
What a great way to like look at things and go into things. It's like you're not going back, you're going forward.
Yeah.
So that's why you're saying you never went back to corporate. You were always just going closer to your dream, closer to whatever you're called to do.
Yeah, it almost feels like there was something I consistently needed to learn in those environments to be able to grow as a business person. And for me, that's what that process was like. And I say that because I think we have this idea of what process should look like, but God has his own idea of what process actually is. Mm-hmm. You know, to us, process looks like uphill, 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 uphill all the time. Yeah. And sometimes you have to take those steps backwards. And now, as an entrepreneur, now working for someone else, you will do things differently. Mm-hmm. So that's why I would then up level on the job. Because the last job I had 2 years ago, when I was still like running my tiny little business, now I become a different employee 2 years later. Because now I'm like, damn, okay, systems.
Yes.
Okay, finances. Now I can manage my team a bit more better, because I've got the perspective that I want to run my own empire one day. Mm-hmm. So how do I use this as practice ground?
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Before we go into your incredible personal life story, because I think there's a lot that people can learn from that.
Yeah.
What is one of the worst feelings you ever felt in the process of being an entrepreneur?
Sure, the worst, being broke. Being broke,
yeah,
is the worst feeling I've ever felt.
Yeah, brokenness is not it.
It's really not it. And I think for me, that was my worst worst feeling. Because
what is the feeling of being broke?
So maybe let me kind of define like what it is, right? So as an entrepreneur, and depending on whatever business you are in, sometimes you've got money in the pipeline, right? But for me, my brokenness was like, there's contracts signed, money is coming, but I need it right now. And it's always, and it almost feels like a heart-wrenching feeling, because there is bills to pay, but there isn't the money right now.
But it's coming, so you have to keep doing the work.
Exactly. So you have to keep showing up, yeah. Right? So you get booked for a speaking gig that's going to pay you in 30 days, yeah. And you still have to get a makeup artist. You still have
and
to get
hair.
Yes, you
petrol.
Still an outfit.
Yeah.
And all of that. And for me, that was like, in entrepreneurship, I was like, listen, just stay at your jobs because this is insane. Mm-hmm. So yeah, for me, that was really it. And I think maybe the second feeling would be self-doubt.
Mm.
You know, the second feeling would be self-doubt. And for me, that feels like inadequacy. Mm-hmm. It feels like, I think as like a recovering perfectionist, it's like it feels like second-guessing yourself. Like every time these feelings for me arise, I want to throw up. Because it's like something is sitting here and I need to get it out, but I can't.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to sit in it. And I think that's where my faith really comes into play, because I then have to remind myself that, wait, it's just a bad day. It's not a bad life. It's just a bad season. It's not like a bad life.
Yes.
You know?
So you speak a lot about faith, right? Because in our entire conversation, you speak about God and having the faith. Do you go to church often? Did church help you navigate through entrepreneurship?
Absolutely. So I'm a Jesus girl. I grew up in the church. I still am in the church. I have led worship in the church. I'm like church all the way through. And I think spirituality for me has really helped me grow my business, because I think firstly, it's helped me grow as a person, right? It's helped me identify where my strengths are. So the word of God says that we are made in the likeness and in the image of God. And when you read the Bible, you get to see the different characteristics of who God is, right? Mm. God is a creator, and essentially we are the creators. You could be a creator in your business, a creator in your life, in your family, in your relationship. So it really, there's a lot of elements in that kind of helped me run my business, run my personal life. But within my business, it's helped me a lot. I mean, look at Jesus's disciples. They were not employees.
You're speaking to the wrong person. You're like Jesus's disciples, the guys who were with him.
The guys are with them. So he had like 12 disciples, right? Okay. Yeah, 12 disciples. They were fishermen and whatever. And if you look through that, you realize that these were people that were running their own things. Mm-hmm. Jesus had a treasurer, somebody who took care of his finances. Mm-hmm. So when you look through the word of God, you realize that he's a God of business, you know? I really appreciate that so much. So when I read the word, I kind of strategically get wisdom. In terms of how should I position myself? Mm-hmm. How should I position my relationships in business?
Mm-hmm.
I need to have a lawyer friend or somebody within my close to me. I need to have somebody in finance. I need to have this and I need to have that. And how do I make decisions? You know, and you ask for God's wisdom and you learn how you ask God to show you how he sees things. That's where the divine timing thing comes, right? Because you realize that it's actually not how it looks right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's where we're going. So maybe right now might look like steps backwards, but you're going to thank yourself later, you know, because you kind of answered that call to what needed to happen in the season. So, yes.
I love what you're saying.
Mm.
And it's got me thinking about the difference between religion and faith, right?
Yeah.
Because I've made a lot of, I mean, I don't know much about the church, guys, so forgive me, but I've met a lot of entrepreneurs who really believe in not only God and faith, but going to church and the institution of church and religion.
Yeah.
And I've seen them almost lose their way because they feel pressured to live within the rules of the church.
Yeah.
You know, even from something like tithes and giving most of what they make to tithing, even though they're building a business.
Mm.
You know, how has that impacted you? Have you had similar experiences?
Sure. So I think what people need to remember is that church is community, right? And like any other community, depending on the people that kind of help orchestrate it, comes with its own social pressures and all of that. And it's normal for people to fall into it. So, I mean, I don't believe in church. I believe in God, right? And I go to church to help me foster community and pray and worship with other people. That's why I go to church. I don't go to church because it's like, it is a must. And if I don't go to church this Sunday, the Lord is not going to see me. That's like not my forte. I go to church because I enjoy it and I want to be around people that believe in the same thing that I believe in.
Mm.
For that 1 hour that we're together, I want to worship together. That's why I do it. But I must be honest and say that I've also come through my own learning over time. to where I am right now, where I've grown in my faith in different aspects. Mm-hmm. So I think that when you're still growing in faith, you go to church, right? And when you go to church, they tell you certain things, they tell you certain principles, and then you kind of hold that. But I think that the breakthrough to faith from religion is getting to know God for yourself, mm-hmm. is getting into the Bible for yourself, is getting to see how God speaks to you, how God directs you, and how God works with you in your life. I think that's where faith is developed. But I do acknowledge that there are a lot of people stuck in the religion and the church institution more than they are in actually faith and God and just their own spirituality.
I like that viewpoint, you know, and I've seen online, you know, that the people who are very faith-based and who go to church have a very big community. What other value is there in that community as an entrepreneur who comes from it, other than just learning all the spiritual and faith-based things?
Sure. What other values are there?
Other values. So what I've seen with some people is because they come from church and they know everyone at church, when they start to sell, they go to those people.
I see.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think maybe community could be the first one. Is that like if you, for instance, if somebody recommends me something that you do, I'm going to buy it because I'm like, oh, I got this from somebody I know and somebody I trust because we believe in the same thing. So I think community, amongst other things, what's coming top of mind for me is just community. It's like your tribe, right? When something happens, they will rush to defend you because it's our tribe. It's our community. And we believe in the Lebo Lion movement and what she's sharing. Yeah. So I think community has to be like amongst a lot of things is the core of it.
Did you ever feel pressured to marry young from church?
Pressured? No. But I did see there was a lot of pressure. Like, and I think there still is, not even marry young, but like marry.
Yes.
You know, there still is a lot of pressure to just get married. Yeah.
So let's talk about maybe something that's a little bit uncomfortable, but I won't go into the specifics, right? How do you, as a woman who's an entrepreneur, because that means you're living a really hectic life, because you're navigating through a lot of things, being a woman, being an entrepreneur, those are hard things. Then you're here in a relationship where you're both trying to get to know yourselves and you're trying to grow with each other. Obviously, a lot's going to happen naturally because it just will. There's too many, you're holding too many things up in the air. Something's going to drop. Right? What happens when something that you love, because you're holding all these things up because you love them and you want them to work. What happens emotionally to you when one of those things drops?
Sure. I cry. A lot. And I'll be very honest and say that some of those things drop very often. Like, because remember, there are times where there's a lot happening with your business and you need to be there all the time, right? So essentially, you're going to focus more on that. And then you realize, oh, shucks, I'm sleeping at 2 o'clock. I'm super grumpy because I'm tired and that's affecting my relationship. And then over time, you get to see the results because maybe your partner at that time is kind of feeling it and whatever. And vice versa with my current partner as well, we have those seasons. But yeah, it's a very sad thing. But I think that it's important in a relationship to understand that relationships have seasons. To understand that you never, it's not, you're not going to feel the butterflies every single day. You know, there are months where maybe we might not cuddle as often because I'm waking up at 5 o'clock or he's waking up at this time and we're like missing each other because we have so much going on, and that's fine. That's really fine. But also what then becomes important, which is something I've learned, is what was the foundation of the relationship in the first place, right? Because I'm a love girl. Like, I love love. I love being in a relationship. But at the same time, I realize that there's so much other aspects of who I am that sometimes require a lot more of my time than the relationship at that time. So I think having an understanding partner is very important. Just having middle ground that, hey, I love you, you love me, let's rock. Because there's no use in like being lovey-dovey when the bills aren't being paid. There's no like
there's no use in being lovey-dovey when the bills aren't being paid.
You know, like, for so for me, that's a thing. It's like you have to get to a point where you're like, okay, I love you, you love me, but we gotta grind. Mm. And even if it means we're not gonna cuddle every night, even if it means that we're just going to, like, you know,
no date night.
Yes, no date night.
Because we can't afford it.
Exactly. Then let's do that. Then let's let that happen.
Make the sacrifice.
Yeah, but what I refuse to do in any relationship is to sacrifice myself and the purpose that God has called me to. And I'm grateful that currently my partner is somebody that really fully understands that. Mm. And we've got open lines of communication where, like, we can have a meeting and be like, okay, do you see where we are?
Yes.
Okay, we are in this season right now. Let's grind. Mm-hmm. And we will go hard and hardly see each other, hardly communicate, hardly be lovey-dovey. Mm. But I'm telling you, once we've done the grind and the cash is coming, you'll see us in Cape
You're
Town.
Happy. Yeah.
You'll see us doing the holidays.
Yeah.
We will do drives. We'll do this. We recently had a baby, right? Just if anybody that's had a baby knows that right after you've had a baby, like, it's hectic. It's hectic. It's like you're also trying to find yourself. And so imagine trying to go through, like, being a mother and all of that and trying to grow your business. Mm-hmm. And now trying to be sexy at the same time.
Yay.
And do you get what I'm saying?
But Jolo.
You need a partner that understands the season that you are in.
Yeah.
Because once they understand the season that you are in, they'll give you the grace. And essentially, when you get the grace to be, you are called back to yourself.
Mm.
When you get the grace to be like, you know what? I love you and I see where you are and I'm here to support you and I'm here if you need anything.
Yes.
Even if you didn't have the time when you're grinding, you will find the time. And you'll find the time at ease, because what we do a lot in relationships is we'll nag and say like, you're so busy, you don't give me time. Oh my God. And then it's like, yeah, I'm not giving you time because I'm working, your car needs to be paid, or this needs to be done, or we need to get this and we need to get that. So I think it's just allowing each other grace.
That's so funny that you speak about that. It reminds me of, I had a boyfriend. Guys, I've had boyfriends too. But I had a boyfriend when I was younger.
Yeah.
And it was at the time when we weren't living at home. We're trying to find a place to stay together.
Yeah.
And that time when we found a place to rent.
Okay.
The first month of us living in that place, we literally, I think we only had like 500 rand for the month for groceries.
Oh my gosh.
And because I was working from home, he had like money for petrol to go to the office, which was close to the place.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first time learning how to cook Bull Brand. Like,
wow.
I had to learn.
Oh my
like,
God.
Literally, and I came from a place where I never had to know those kinds of things.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, I learned
yeah.
because it wasn't the season for us to be nice timing,
going out.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We had to sit at home, cook all the food we eat.
Yeah.
Fun times was taking a walk, you know?
Yeah. And I think those moments are really like special for your relationship. Like I said, it's relationships are seasonal. And when we say that, we think it's like people come in and out of your life. Yes. But also even in the long-term relationships, you go through different seasons that kind of shape you in a different way.
Yes.
And you need to give yourself the grace to step into that season and embrace it fully. And also you need a partner that is able to give you that grace to step into that season. And sometimes even just stand from a distance and say, I'm going to let you do your thing. I'm here if you need anything. You know?
As a female entrepreneur, how do you communicate your boundaries to your loved ones so that they can give you the space to do what you need to do?
Sure. So I'm a recovering people pleaser. So before that was never the case. But I think now having a child changed me.
Mm.
Like I pushed a whole person out of my ahoo-ha.
Yeah.
Listen. I can do anything.
Yes.
I can tell you to get away. So I think that really kind of gave me superpowers I never knew I had.
Mm.
It also made me feel like every single day and every decision I make is going to affect this person.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I can't play about me anymore because it's no longer just about me. It's also about me and this person. So if I say no, I'm sorry, I can't. But it is, I think with loved ones, it becomes, you have to teach them over time, right? Because I'm only a mom recently. But when you work from home, your mom can be like, hi, what's up? I want to go shopping today. Can you take me to Woolies? And you have to stop everything that you're doing to go pick her up so you can drive her to go do shopping. Da, da, da. And oh, they want to do lunch during the day, but you've got deadlines. I think it's happened over time recently where I've just learned to be like, actually, please treat me like I work from 9 to 5. Treat me like that. just know that I'm not available for to pick up Mang Mang from the airport that just arrived because you want to see them, to go to take a lot and pick up your thing that you wanted. I'm not available for errands. Mm-hmm. I literally have work to do. So I've learned over time to just speak out for myself and say, no, I can't.
I like that. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to mothers who are also entrepreneurs?
Choose yourself first. I think that I'm so fortunate that I've had my mother in love and my mother really support me within my journey. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing that they've taught me is like, I know you love this baby, but you come first. Mm. So you have to make sure that if you want to love this baby right, you have to love you right. And loving you right means doing what inspires you and what fuels you, which is your work, right? So if you prioritize running your business, what are the things that are tied to you prioritizing running your business? Is it educating yourself, taking those courses, reading, attending those meetings, doing those podcasts, filming that content, and essentially as you do that, you're a more fulfilled person who's able to pour out to this person that you love. So I think usually sometimes people have it the other way, which is like, my child, and then you get depressed because nothing is moving in your life and you're not doing much. But my advice would be choose yourself first. Your child needs you to choose you.
Your child needs you to choose you.
Yeah.
Very mature, Michelle.
Thank you.
That is like sage advice. Like you've been alive for 50 years. You've
just got all this life experience. Oh my God. I wish.
Before we close off this beautiful conversation, I want us to touch on some things that you talk about on TikTok, right? Yes. And there's one conversation, right? I think you even know which conversation I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But it's the pricing conversation.
That's a huge conversation.
Huge.
Very big.
Bah, 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 bah.
Yeah.
What's that that gif? Is it a meme?
Which one
that
is it?
That video where the house falls. Ga-ga-ga. 10 past 4.
Oh, 10 past 4. Ga-ga-ga-ga.
It's that 10 past 4. Yes. That's the pricing conversation.
A very controversial conversation.
Pricing your worth. Let's talk about it.
Sure. So the reason why I started talking about it so much is, like I said, now with my business and my work, it's becoming more defined, right? And that defined is I've been taking some time to look back into my business journey and kind of see, okay, so what actually happened? Mm. And for me, pricing was a very big thing. Mm-hmm. And in the sense that I initially would underprice myself. And then, so I call myself a crazy brain because I come up with ideas and implement right away. Like, I don't overthink stuff. If I think I want to charge 20K more today, I'll do it. Mm. The worst somebody can say is no. And I've learned through that truly the worst somebody can say is no. Mm. Like, your arm's not going to come off because you've charged a bit more higher. But I've learned over the years that it has to do with you understanding your value. Okay, so you know what the whole Jolo thing, we're like, know your worth, mm-hmm. wara wara wara, like, you know the person you should be with because da da da. The same thing is in business. We have to realize that for you to be able to get paid a price that make you smile, and I say that a price, I use that reference a lot because I got it from one of my online mentors, that you need to charge a price that makes you smile. Mm-hmm. Because essentially, an underpaid person is going to underdeliver.
Yes.
And then when you underdeliver, you're going to run your business down,
mm-hmm.
which is setting yourself up for failure, right? But if you get paid a price that makes you smile, you're going to overdeliver. When you overdeliver, you're going to get more word of mouth. Mm-hmm. When you get more word of mouth, essentially, you're going to build a business and you're going to build relationships, and then it's going to grow, mm-hmm. right? So for me, my experience has been testing it out. There are people who come to me that I'm like, I don't think I want to work with these people, but I'll send them an invoice anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because I just want to see if they're going to pay me the outrageous amount I've just asked for. Not even outrageous, but it's just like, I just want to see. I just want to test it out. If my normal rate was 20K, I'm like, okay, maybe let me say 32.
Mm.
Let's see what they're going to say, you know? But it's a very, very big conversation. I think that people need to start understanding their value more. And a lot of people are just like, what does that mean? How do you understand your value? I think the only way to understand your value is to input value, right? If you want great output, you have to work on great input. And what a lot of people do is they get so fixated on the output and they don't actually invest in the input. So I'll give you an example. as a speaker, right? If I am invited to speak at a gig, I'm confident with the rate that I charge because I'm confident and I know that there's a lot of work that goes behind it. I know that there's a lot of reading, there's a lot of research, there's a lot of technique, there's all of this because I've been doing it for long enough to be confident and I've been working towards it. Mm-hmm. So if somebody had to question my value, I'll tell them to, like, you know, maybe look for somebody else because I know what is associated with that amount. I know the value associated with that price. However, most people don't know the value associated with their price. They go off like just market research. Mm-hmm. So if their competitor's charging 500, they say, well, I'm going to charge 450. Mm-hmm. Why are you charging 450? What is the value associated to that price? And I think once people understand that, they'll be able to speak confidently about their pricing and market their pricing even better and not say DM for pricing.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, bora lando.
That is very boring.
It's
DM for pricing.
Yes, it's so like 2000 and whatever when Instagram was new.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's you realize that it's because people aren't confident with their prices. People are just charging because they saw the other company charge 2000. So they're saying, well, we're going to charge 1.8. Because we want that client. So I think it has a lot to do with understanding the value associated with your product, putting a price to it, but also the value associated with your business. Like, what more do you give? That becomes very important.
How often do you find people assuming that charging your worth is charging a higher price?
Very often. Mm-hmm. Very often. But we also have to acknowledge that there is a relationship between price and worth. In the sense that the higher something costs, the perception is it's much better. So sometimes it's very strategic that people charge higher, not because it's different from their competitor, but because they're just trying to look like a high value person.
But let's take it back to Umjolo then.
Yes.
Okay. There are girls, yes. Right? Let's say the aesthetic is weaves, makeup, lashes, whatever.
Yeah.
There's a clear difference between somebody who got their hair, and please don't drag me, but there is a difference.
Yeah.
Someone who got their hair, let's say, someone has a synthetic weave versus somebody who has an HD lace 365 by 5.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's a clear difference.
Yeah, yeah.
If the person with a synthetic weave says, my worth is the same as somebody with a HD lace, we're all going to be like, but you're not though.
Why would we say that?
Because they're not. The inputs are very different. The cost of the inputs are very different for both of them. They might be doing the same thing, trying to look the same way.
Yeah.
But the other one's doing her makeup at home using, you know, a cheaper makeup brand.
Yeah.
This one's got a makeup artist doing her makeup all the time with hair that's 20 times more expensive.
I think the determining factor there would be, are they after the same man?
Yes.
Usually not.
They are. And that's what I'm saying in the sense of they're both in the same industry, right? So Michelle and I do the same thing.
Yeah,
I'm going to charge more to seem more worthy.
Yes.
But Michelle has an HD lace and I've got a synthetic.
Mm.
We want the same clients. Does it make sense for me to do that?
Hmm. Interesting. Maybe not. But I think that... I think that the Mjolo thing... maybe I'm not understanding it quite well.
So it's in the sense that you were saying so many people say, you know, when you look for a partner, you need to always tell them your worth. Find somebody who matches your worth.
Yeah.
Don't date down or whatever, right? And so many people believe that there is one worth and we're all trying to get to it.
Okay.
So that would be reflective of, let's say, the higher price.
Yeah.
The highest price in the market is the most worthy company. And everybody wants to be that.
Yeah.
So to bypass the work that comes with becoming worthy, they think by charging the worthy price.
So by looking expensive. By
even charging a lot of money, they think, oh, then therefore I am worthy.
Mm. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. I've never thought of it like that. And I think that analogy you just gave was like really, really interesting. But again, I mean, you know this, is that... it's always based on perception.
Mm-hmm.
Like when people are building brands and we are trying to put price tags to something, it is all based on perception. What do people think about it, right? And with the analogy that you gave, the woman with the HD lace, the perception is that she's got a little bit more money, she's high maintenance or whatever the case is. Yes, we assume. That's a perception that from what we see, mm-hmm. right?
But if she puts a filter on and puts a picture on Instagram, yeah. we all look like we have HD.
Yeah. So maybe the client has to go and try for himself mm-hmm. to see if it really is what the price tag has. But you see, what I also talk a lot about is the fact that even if you are the one with the synthetic wig and somebody else has the lace wig, mm-hmm. even if they run to the lace, if the lace is not actually what it is selling it to be, like if it is not as worthy as it's saying to be, people are not going to stay there. Mm-hmm. So you have to, what does, I'm forgetting this guy's name, but he talks about, is it infinite games? You have to play the long game. And the long game is that you're not trying to get the synthetic wig right now so that all the clients can come running to you. Mm. Do you get what I'm saying? You're trying to do the good work that is going to help you build sustainable relationships in Njolo, for instance. Yes, work on yourself. And if the synthetic wig is what you have right now, rock that. But if somebody has an encounter with you, they will know that you have more to offer than
should,
a lace.
Should your pricing reflect that you have a synthetic wig?
Should your pricing
that's
reflect?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying
that
to
that you have
get
a synthetic
to.
Wig.
Yes.
Should your pricing reflect that you have a synthetic wig?
And we're using this as examples, guys. We're not saying people with synthetic wigs.
You see, that's the thing. They're going to come
charge.
For us, Lebo.
They can come. You know, well, they're welcome here. But it's just an analogy for people to understand. Because that's the conversation I'm always having with people about pricing, right? There is your worth. Mm-hmm. But then we have to also put that against the market, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And your market value. Mm-hmm. You can be Lebo who's got more knowledge than half the people in the industry that you're in, but because your brand isn't as strong yet, your worth in the market isn't as strong.
So then you work
so
on
that
the
will impact your pricing, but that doesn't mean you don't have the knowledge that could even be better than somebody else. But the package and the product you are on the market is not worth somebody else who's been there for longer. Do you get what I'm trying to say? There's so many dynamics at play when it comes to pricing.
Yeah.
And I think too many people are focused on this worth thing that seems so subjective when actually it's a combination or whatever of so many factors.
Yeah.
You know, you can have an HD days, but if you come into the market tomorrow, it doesn't matter if you have an HD days and a Rolls Royce. Mm. You will not be as credible a voice as somebody who's been in the market for 10 years
and you won't
and
last
has
longer.
Gained networks. Exactly.
You won't last longer. So I think that's why, for me, the thing is, if when you're playing the long game, you're more strategic, right? Mm. And you acknowledge that, okay, I've got a synthetic wig right now, and this is what I'm working with. And then you work to the best of your ability with that.
Yeah.
Because the more you do that, the more you're going to grow to eventually afford the lace or whatever it is. And by the time you get to that point, you'll obviously have accumulated enough experience, you've accumulated enough knowledge to then match up to the look that you're going to be having at that time. So I think it's progressive more than anything, but it also goes back to a conversation we heard earlier when we were talking about faith, that you have to do the work, right? That people are not stupid. People can see through the lace. People can see that, okay, this lace looks good, but is there a conversation? People can see that, okay, the wrapping is amazing, but is the product quality? Yeah. And maybe they will come running because you've put the lace out, but they won't come back. So then what they would rather do is they would then rather go buy a synthetic because they know that they're getting what they're paying for. They will know that if this is how much I'm putting out, this is how much I'm getting, my expectation is not being raised for me to get something that is not as being marketed or put out on social media. So I think be honest, be as honest as possible about what you offer, but also at the same time, don't underprice yourself.
Yes.
For me, that's a thing. I think the reason why this message has been so strong for me is because I see a lot of people underprice themselves because they feel like I'm not there yet. But it's like, no, you can gradually grow through your pricing, but do not underprice yourself. I'll tell you a story. So when I started my wedding planning business, I started getting clients. And the reason why the business did so well is because, so at school, they taught us like a pricing structure. And I was just like, this is hectic. Like, oh my God. Like, I don't know if this is like something I'd be able to charge. And then I got my first wedding. And with my first wedding, hectic, I put all the quote according to the pricing structure that they'd given us, right? And I think the quote mounted to like 18,000. And I was like, this is a lot. Like nobody.
18 is enough.
Yeah. I was like, no, at that time, yeah. No, it was like doing deco and planning. Remember, I was still starting up and I'm 19. It was like 2000 and something, right? It was a small wedding. So I'm just like, okay, damn, this is like I'm not going to like, this client is not going to buy from me because there's a lot of money. Because I'm thinking to myself, I'm still a student. I'm starting out. So maybe let me underprice my, maybe let me not even make profit so I can just get my foot in the door. That was my thought, right? Mm. And then a part of me was like, no, charge. Charge more. So after you've done this, are you happy with the margin? No. Okay, put a little bit more. And then see how you, and when you put a little bit more, try see what are the extra add-ons you can give the client to over-deliver so that they rave about your service. Mm-hmm. So I ended up charging, I think, close to 28,000 Rand from there after adding in a few little things. I sent that invoice. I remember that image so vividly. I was sitting in a boardroom at my previous workplace and I sent the invoice immediately. And as soon as I sent it, I literally closed my eyes because I was just like, I've lost that business. They are not going to do anything. Yeah. So I sat for a few minutes and wallow, and then a notification came and the client had paid me in full. And from that moment, I told myself to never, ever second guess quoting a price that makes me smile. And I think with that is quoting a price that makes me smile, yes, but also giving value that matches the price I'm quoting. It wasn't the fact that I just want to charge more because I think I deserve more, but it's like if I can charge more because I can then do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 extra and I can over deliver. I can get them better candles. I can get them these things that would make their wedding more. And I could get fairy lights here, which would make the experience much more prettier and unique. And they'd be wowed because I've over delivered. And then they'd feel like they've paid actually enough or they've paid their money's worth.
Mm. Yeah. That's a very interesting take on it, you know, and I can relate because I've also been in different kinds of businesses.
Yeah.
So I get that feeling. Mm. I want to add some chilies, some spice to that.
Level with the spice.
So the pricing conversation is a very sensitive one. You're right, because it's tied to your value as a person, whether you're aware of it or not. You even spoke about the limiting beliefs.
Yes.
You know, you have these things that you think about yourself, and therefore it's almost like you're minusing from how
every
much you
time.
Think you should get paid. Because you're like, oh, but I'm still here. Minus. Yeah. I'm still doing it. Minus.
I don't have enough followers. Minus.
Yeah. Exactly. And then you get to a point where you're like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll charge what I think I should charge, but I'll deliver more. Mm. Wonderful, we do it.
No, not wonderful, terrible.
Yeah, well, you
now we know
what you want to charge.
Yes.
But you add the extra little things to give it value.
Mm. Yeah.
Now I'm at a place, and I think it's also the evolution of the kinds of clients I'm getting, the kind of money I'll get, etc. But now I don't over-deliver. Mm. As in, I don't even give a little bit extra, not even a teaspoon extra
to give
than what is on the invoice.
Yeah.
You know, because I've actually had to teach myself, and I've seen this with people who are making a lot of money in different industries that I'm trying to penetrate. Mm-hmm. And the one thing is, people must learn to get what they paid for.
Mm.
You know, so when you go to Woolworths and you're buying 5 apples, they don't give you an extra one because you bought the apples.
100%.
They give you the 5 apples.
Yeah.
You know what
because
I mean?
Because that's what you paid for.
Because that's what you paid for.
Yeah.
And all you have to do as a service provider is give the client what they paid for.
Mm.
You know, and I think in that it creates a very respectful interaction 100%. With that person where they go, actually, I have to almost rethink my expectations with this person, how I choose to interact with them. Their time is limited.
Yeah.
I am only paying for this. It's not necessarily that the relationship is transactional, but it is a business relationship.
Yeah.
And sometimes the lines get blurred when you give perks.
Yeah.
You know, even though the perks are well-meaning because you're like, but this person's been a great client.
Yes.
I want to add a little.
Yeah.
And it's like, even I think the art of giving perks is something we have to teach people. When do you give extras?
Yes.
How do you provide perks?
Okay. So let me also add a little bit of spice.
Add it.
Okay, to that. So I 100% agree with you. And but I also want to say that you've come to that conclusion, right? Because you've been in business for years.
Yes.
Because you've built yourself. Because you've tried a lot of things and tested them. And what I notice a lot, and it's something that I really want to talk about, is that a lot of people listen to successful, and I'm doing this purposefully, right? Advice, and what they do is they don't realize that that advice is because they've gone through the process.
Mm-hmm.
So we take high level advice and then we apply it right where we are, and then we get shocked why it's not working.
Yeah.
Where and I think that as people that are successful or in business and running businesses or whatever, we need to start getting to a point where we're giving people the right tools and the advice for where they are, mm-hmm. and also reflecting on where we were during that time.
Yes.
I think it was important at some point in your career to over-deliver a tiny bit, right? Because you then got that client that came back that then referred somebody because they just like, oh my God, she was amazing. She actually gave us this a little bit more extra. So I think that there's value in that. But as you grow, you start eliminating a lot of things because now you're more confident in what you offer. Now you are now you label lion, right? But 10 years ago, it would have been a different story. Yeah. So I say that to say that there's different stages and levels to everybody in business. And whenever you are, especially when we talk about the pricing, right? It is important, like all these things that we're saying are very key, but they might apply in different seasons of your entrepreneurial journey.
Yes.
You might not, like right now might not be the time for you to like give people what they pay for, right? It might, right now, maybe the time for you might be like, add a little bit something. If it doesn't cost you too much, add a tiny bit to it. So that maybe you can give a bit more value. Maybe that's the time for you, and you're going to do that for 2 to 3 months, and then from there you can elevate to another point. But I just say that to say there are people who are running businesses who are just starting off. We have never seen entrepreneurship anywhere. Mm. Who are just doing it because 4 people in the area bought what they're selling, so now they want to sell it to everyone else, and they start asking themselves, how do I get everybody to buy what I'm selling?
I hear you. I still want to break that up a little bit.
Break it up.
And the reason why I'm making this a debate is because I want people to really look at pricing from all the different angles.
100%.
Right? It's so important because that's what brings money into your business. How you grow, et cetera, et cetera. So when I look back at my journey and when I look at the markets, especially in South Africa and on the African continent, what I see is customers really try to take advantage of smaller businesses.
Yes.
People who are less known.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they almost have a weird expectation of getting perks from the smaller guy.
Okay.
Because this guy really wants to prove themselves. They know this, right? Yeah. So they play into that. But when you as the smaller business has boundaries, keeps to whatever you say you'll deliver, and you don't do more than that, they realize that if I want extra, I actually have to pay for it. And even if I had to pay for it from the small business, it would still be less than if I went to someone more expensive.
But that's a high-level consumer level. That's a very high-level consumer who can think like that.
What, who says, if I have to pay
more?
No, but what I'm saying is they realize it by the small business not budging.
Okay.
It's the fact that the small businesses do budge that they find themselves with clients who have unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
You should never budge. What you can do is have a great conversational relationship with the client, you know, and say, look, you can call me even after 6. That's okay.
Yeah.
Between 6 and 8, it's okay. Yeah. That's a perk.
Yes.
But not an actual perk that costs real money. I don't believe in those. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
If it affects your bottom line, then no. So I think for me, like when I say perk or like adding on small little things and whatever, it's, I always say like you have to... don't overpromise and don't underdeliver. Like for me, that's a very big thing, right?
Yes.
So when I say perks, for instance, let's say I'm trying to find like the simplest example that we can use. Let's say somebody is selling cakes, right? I have a cake lady whom I use all the time because we once bought a cake and then later realized that, oh, shucks, this cake is going to be small, because then she later found out our numbers later. And what she did for us is she gave us a few extra cupcakes.
Oh, that's cute.
And because of that, she does all of our cakes almost every month. Yeah. I will find a reason to buy a cake from her because of that one act she did for me. I don't expect her to do that all the time, and she doesn't. It was a once over. She was like, oh my God, actually, you're so lucky. I literally had this order that was canceled, and I'm not going to do anything with these cupcakes. I'm going to give them to a friend who's got a birthday. I'm going to send some your way so that it can boost you guys up with the cake that you need, because since it's last minute, right? So that's what I mean. Where there is space, give a little bit more, because that's how you build relationships. If you're still starting out and you're giving what everyone else is giving, what's going to differentiate you in that moment? Because remember, you're still trying to cultivate your value. You're still trying to cultivate your confidence as a business person. There's still so much happening. So if you can work on the tangibles, the tiny tangibles at that time, you've got a better chance of connecting with the customer, mainly because you've done that. Do you get me?
That's an interesting take. And interesting, I mean, it's a good take and it's very realistic. Yes. So it does
but,
work.
Yeah, but it goes both ways. And I fully agree with also what you're saying. Mm. I personally just think that it has to do with the different stages and levels that you are at in business. I think that there's certain decisions and certain things you will do once you get to like mid-level when you're generating certain revenue. Mm-hmm. And then there's certain things that you'll do when you are starting off, and there's certain things that you'll stop doing.
Mm.
That's growth, right? Once you get to that level.
I hear you. I hear
Got
you.
Got it, yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah.
And it's cool. I mean, the market is very dynamic.
Exactly.
So we get to do things in the way that feels instinctually safe and right for us.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Yeah.
Any parting words? Anybody who's watching this podcast, do you have anything to say to them? Where can they find you? Mm. What are your parting words?
What are my parting words? Shucks. My parting words is, the more you work on yourself, the more your business is going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a big lesson for me, that the more you work from in to out
mm-hmm.
versus out to in, the more your business is going to grow because it's going to be more intentional.
Mm.
Pricing is not going to be an issue for you because you know what your value is going to be. And I think you will become more strategic into growing what you're building, into mm-hmm. building an actual brand for yourself. And you will attract a tribe that is going to be glued to the core of who you are
mm-hmm.
and not all these other things. So for me, that's like my big lesson. And I hope that it helps somebody. And where can you find me? You can find me on social media. I am on Instagram. I'm now Michelle_expertreal because my previous account got hacked.
Oh, wow. Sorry about that.
Yeah. And TikTok, we have Michelle_expert. Everywhere, Michelle_expert, except for Instagram, Michelle_expertreal.
Awesome. Thank you so much for making time to come on this podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thoroughly enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you, me too.
You're doing amazing work. Don't stop. And I can't wait to see all the other businesses that you build in the next 5 years.
Listen, just keep watching, okay? One thing about me, I will start something soon.
Good.
So we'll see.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Lynn.
Guys, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Label Lions Show. This one was a banger. I mean, you need to rewind and go back to the conversations we were having. I think Michelle shared a lot of nuggets that can help you navigate through entrepreneurship at many levels. So please go back, write down the notes, comment, tell us what you thought, share some of your pricing experiences, and let us know what's worked for you because other people can also learn from what you are writing. Guys, I'm going to see you very, very soon. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, do all the things that get people to love this podcast, to watch the podcast, and to grow our community. And don't forget, the only way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time. Peace out. Come let me teach you a lesson. Come let me teach you a lesson. Level line with the tweets. Follow me back to my nest. Level line with the podcast. Teach you lesson because I got class. Level line with the impact. You be lying, that's a real fact. Come let me teach you a lesson. Yeah. Come let me teach you a lesson. Level line with the tweets. Follow me back to my nest.